a people called out to live in a new way. Part of the details given was that God commanded the people to build a table of acacia wood with incredibly specific detail asked for. Clearly, this was an important table. It wasn't a large table, nearly a meter in length, but it was beautifully ornate, wooden overlaid with pure gold. Rings were added so poles could be used to carry the table easily as they travelled. This was a table that was made to be transported. It was also a table to be used. They were instructed to make beautiful gold plates and dishes, pitchers and bowls. And then God tells Moses to put the bread of the presence on this table. The bread is sometimes translated as showbread, literally meaning bread of the face, or as the Revised Version has it in the margin, presence bread. So God was saying, you shall set upon the table bread of the presence before me always. The bread was to be placed in the presence of God, 12 loaves placed on this table, a reminder of the 12 tribes, set as a way of giving thanks to God for giving them their daily bread. In the bread placed on the table, the people remembered their dependence on God for their daily bread. This bread was made with the same flour that was used at everybody's tables. It symbolized all their tables at which they ate in thankfulness for God's goodness. Unlike other religions where food was placed as gifts for gods that needed to be fed, this was not food for God, but rather it was a symbol of the spiritual food which Israel was to prepare, a figurative representation of the calling it had received from God. And on the top of each row of bread was a golden dish with frankincense, which was burned before the Lord. So it gets really detailed. But let's take a step back for a moment and remember what we're talking about in the bigger picture. This was this huge group of wandering people, escaped slaves, learning a new way to live their lives of faith out in the wilderness. Never long in one place, these tent cities would be established over and over again as the pillar of cloud or fire led them. And central to their site, whenever they set up camp, was the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. This was the portable earthly dwelling place of God. Eventually, when the Israelites would settle, it would be replaced by the temple. In a way, it's the early church building, the holy place where followers of God gathered to worship, a tent sanctuary. So let's take a moment to acquaint ourselves with this special tent. We can guess it looked something like this, with outer tapestry curtains decorated with cherubs that were easily put together and easily taken down again. The entry gate is just off to the left, but that's why I added in the other one so you can see kind of where the entry gate is. This was a place of, no, not that one yet, sorry. Let's go back to the other one. Can we go backwards? Yeah, let's stick with that one for a little long. This was a place of daily worship and offering for the people of Israel. The outer court is where the Israelites would come, and the altar for burnt offering was central in this gathering space. So you can see that wooden bronze thing, box thing, out toward the front. That's in the centre of that gathering space. And beyond the bronze altar was what was called the laver. And this was this bronze bowl on a bronze stand where the priests would wash their hands and feet before they entered the holy place inside the tent. So the outer court was all bronze, whereas the inner court was all gold. The inside of the tent was set out like this. We'll have the next one now. Thank you, Peter. So that's once you go inside that tent, divided into two rooms, the holy place, the first area, and then the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. In the outer room, or the holy place, there was the table with the bread of the presence. And there was also an altar of incense and the menorah, the special lamp on the stand that held the 7 bowls of pure olive oil with wicks in them. So it was always light. Then in the inner room, the most holy place, understood to be the dwelling place of God, was the Ark of the Covenant, the special gold-covered wooden box that held the tablets of the 10 Commandments. This was the basis of their new covenant. And this most holy place was only entered once a year by the high priest on Yom Kippur on the Day of Atonement to offer the blood of sacrifice and incense. So So I hope you can kind of imagine now what that kind of special place was like. In Leviticus 9, we read of the way Moses and Aaron went to the tent of meeting, and when they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. So they would have gone into that holy place in the tent where the table was. So back to the bread. These 12 loaves that always sat on the table next to the lamp that was always lit, loaves that were renewed each week on the Sabbath day, and the replaced bread was then eaten by the priests. From the beginning, God placed a table at the centre of the community of faith, and on that table placed bread as a symbol of daily feeding and of the call to continual thanksgiving, a symbol of the full and never-failing provision of God. Already the faith community was looking toward the Messiah who would become the bread of life. So what does all of that mean for us all these centuries later in our very different context? The bread of life is the very essence of our life, and that's what we place before the face of God. Our ordinary lives offered to God in thanksgiving. And somehow that ordinariness is not out of place on the beauty of the table. God delights in the ordinary, regular offerings of our lives. The bread, the product of human work, is laid on the table to be blessed. So we lay our work before God as an offering, and the bread fed the priests. Each week when that new batch of bread was placed on the table, the old batch was used to feed the priests. And it's worth noting that in 1 Samuel, when we read of David on the run from King Saul, the bread was also used to feed him. The rules about who should eat this bread are held lightly when it comes to need. What is offered is used to feed those who need to be fed. As Jesus argued in Matthew 12, when he was challenged about healing on the Sabbath, this was not about rules, it was about meeting the needs of the people before us. That's how we are to use all we have to offer. And then we come to the reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. By now the tabernacle has become the temple, and now God is again doing something new. Change is afoot. Where once God referred to the temple as the divine dwelling place, now God will dwell amongst the people. We're now the very temple of God. But don't therefore assume that God's standards have dropped. Where God dwells is sacred and needs to be understood as such. Therefore, just as the tabernacle was made beautiful with costly materials, so we are also. Our foundation is the costliest of material, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Our lives will then go through testing, so what we build needs to be strong enough to survive the rough times. We now are the temple of God, the place where God dwells. And Paul tells the church that this temple we're building needs to be built with care. We together are the temple. We together are the church. The church is no longer to be defined as a building, but as a people. And as a people, we need to put in the effort. This is not something to just throw together with straw or hay and hope for the best. It takes the best of what we can offer. The table we build as the people of God needs to be of the finest materials so it can hold the very basics and wonderful ordinariness of our lives. If we build a table out of straw, it will be burnt under the testing fire. The daylight will show it for what it is. Paul says this is not about salvation. The builder of the burnt temple will still be saved, but oh, what a loss if care isn't taken. In us, the people of God, lies the table, the place where we offer the ordinariness of our lives to God in trust of God's daily provision. And we need to take that seriously, making precious space in our lives that recognizes who God is. In the daily bread, our everyday living, we're called to offer our thanks to our gracious and loving God. The table is the place where we are called to be invitational, the place where we break bread together, the place where we understand that we belong. We need to be a people who build a table of welcome. I invite you now to take some time to reflect on the invitation to come to the table and what that means while we listen to a song.